Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We live stream at KFARradio.com. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And today is a Wednesday, and like I said, we're exchanging yesterday's Tuesday and today's Wednesday around. Today's a political day, and in the studio here, we have a candidate for governor. We have Mayor Dave Bronson. How you doing, sir?
Mr. Mayor, thank you for having me.
This is Mayor to Mayor, man. Mayor to Mayor.
The Mayor Show, yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. My wife and I are up here enjoying your balmy minus 27 or 23 right now. We came in at 42 below yesterday, but we missed our chance to get up to the university and get a picture at the sign, so... Now it's warming up.
You know, you were the mayor of the largest city, town, population in Alaska, basically about 40, 45% of the population. And all of a sudden, you're brand new and this thing called COVID hits. How?
And
no offense, but no one had ever been through anything like that before. What were your recollections? You all made it through in a good way.
Well, we made it through. We came into that. It had already started the shutdowns, and I distinguished between COVID itself and the COVID shutdowns as far as damage. It was tough. We were in the midst of losing about 200 small businesses. They were shut down due to the COVID restrictions, especially restaurants, small restaurants. And that was a big reason.
Berkowitz was just.
And then the ensuing mayor, he resigned. Another mayor came in, and it was just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
There were things like if you were in a bar, you could sit down and talk, but you couldn't get up, stand up and sing. I mean, it's like something I'm trying to cleanse my mind of because it was so nonsensical. And I came in, I says, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do mask mandates. We're not going to do certainly vaccine mandates. We're going to come in, and if you want a vaccine, I came in and literally said, you want a vaccine? Go to my health department. You can have a vaccine. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. Just don't tell everybody else what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a libertarian conservative. I don't want to be telling you what to do unless it's essential for, say, public safety or the public good, and those things weren't. And it was nonsensical. I followed Dr. Jay Bhattacharya out of Stanford Medical. He was an early intelligent voice in this. Now he's running things up in D.C. in this regard. And I knew something was wrong. And in the beginning, you'd flip over the box on the masks, and they'd say, this will not stop the transmission of an airborne virus. And then they would hand it out and say, you got to wear two or three of these or one of these. And Fauci would show up and wear a couple of them. What a charlatan.
What always cracked me up was people who were driving around in their car wearing them.
Yeah, or people would wear their mask with their nose exposed and their mouth covered. And I'm trying to figure out what. Now, again, I don't want to pick on them.
Yeah.
If they want to wear a mask, I'll support you in that.
You know, I never got it, and I looked at it as personal hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wash my hands often, but in the morning and then in the evening, I'd brush my teeth and I would use an antiseptic. You know, you get a cut, you rub something on
right.
it. You know, I would something like that, and I never got it. And so,
well, I think I was diagnosed twice, and then I think I had it three times. I got to the point after the first one, I just didn't care. I did the nose swab thing. I came in and I just saw the threat that it was. So one of the things that we knew nationally that was good was something called monoclonal antibody treatment.
Yeah, and President Trump got it. He got that. Yeah. And then they tried to outlaw it.
Yeah, and
my
so
God.
And so I had a friend, and she says she was real sick from COVID. She came to me, and she says, "Hey, I just took this treatment, and I instantly felt better." And I go, "Well, what is it?" So then I started doing my research. I'm a big researcher. I get on the computer and start studying things. And I was in office at the time, and this monoclonal antibody had great outcomes. So she brings me over to where she got it. It was in this warehouse in Midtown in Anchorage, and they had beds lined up. This company came in called Weka. It's a real, real good little company, and they didn't have a facility. And I says, and all these people are getting this treatment. They're getting better really quickly. I mean, within a day or so. I mean, and I says, why are you doing it here? And they says, well, no one will give us a building because you're not supposed to do monoclonal antibody. And I says, well, I got a building for you. We've got a hotel. It's called the Golden Lion Hotel, which later on became even more controversial. And I says, let's go set up there. So I gave them, and they treated, I think the numbers were 4,000 people total, and they believe they saved probably 2,000 lives.
Wow.
And under executive authority, emergency authority, I did that. But the assembly tried to stop that.
The assembly tried to stop everything.
Absolutely.
And now they're doing a lot of things that you did.
Well, yeah, I think you and I were talking earlier. There's this a big navigation center that I was proposed for treatment of and helping out the homeless population. It's a great big sprung steel shelter. It's a very good type of building used throughout the Arctic. They in Northwest Territories, they use it for public schools. It's like an R-32 building. The assembly would derogatorily call it a tent. It wasn't a tent. And they approved it. It was about a $22 million with the services inside, all the facilities inside. Mm-hmm. And it was a big project on a concrete slab engineered. And we get halfway through pouring the footings for the foundation, and they stopped. And
a political decision to hurt you.
Yeah, and they said in a meeting, a friendly assemblyman says, they said, this is a good idea, but we're not going to allow this to complete because we're not going to give Bronson a win on anything. Well, just last night at the assembly, they proposed over $300,000 to set the building up, that very same building.
Yeah.
Set it up down at the Port of Alaska and use it for warm storage for equipment.
Oh.
So, that was the world we kind of lived in. It was tough. I never really spent much effort defending myself back then, because once you start defending yourself on one thing, you're going to have to defend yourself on everything, and they'll use that against you, and you stop governing.
I wholly agree.
Yeah.
Fairbanks,
you've been there.
Oh, yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Mayor Dave Bronson in the studio with me, who's running for governor. Back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com, findoutfree.com.
Here's a tale of Tina searching up and down for decent GLP-1s, but got spun around.
Till good RX wrote in, hey, we got something new. GLP-1 prescriptions all FDA approved.
Brand name meds, no flags in a red.
Clear pricing from the start. None of those hidden fees in your cart.
Delivered to your door or pick up same day. Darn tootin'.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Hot foot it to goodrx.com/weightloss. GoodRx is not insurance.
If the power goes out in the middle of winter, do you have a way to stay warm? If not, you need the Vesta off-grid space heater from My Patriot Supply. It's compact, safe to use indoors, and best of all, it doesn't need electricity. Right now, you can get a free Vesta and other bonus gifts when you order the Winter Survival Kit from My Patriot Supply. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com to see everything included. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Seen the forecast lately? Snow, snow, and more snow. And you're still sore from digging out after the last storm. You need a Honda snowblower from the Woodway. With fingertip steering controls, electric joystick shoot control, one-lever speed and direction control, super bright LED headlights, all of this, and backed by Honda's legendary reliability and a 3-year warranty. They also have all the necessary accessories like pan heaters and covers. Be prepared the Alaskan way. The right way, the Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Snow likely today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 19 below. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance of snow. Lows level off around 28 below. About an inch of snow today with another 1 to 3 inches tomorrow through Friday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Mayor Dave Bronson is in the studio with me. Mayor, you're looking at, you are running for governor. Yep. How did you come to that decision? What made you throw your hat in the ring?
Well, just from a broad sense, it's very instinctive and if not traditional for the mayor of 42% of the population of the state to consider running for governor. So there's that. That wasn't it. For me, I thought I had more to offer. I'd been running the airport, Ted Stevens International Airport. The governor appointed me to that for quite a few months. And I got into state government and I go, there's a lot of things that need to be improved on and need to be fixed. And I see them. I think I've got the skill set to build the team to solve those problems and move forward on a lot of Governor Dunleavy's initiatives. Just keep the ball moving forward. I think he's done a great job in setting the ethos for the state and moving us forward. But a lot of the stuff has to keep going. I think I have the skill set to do it. And then there was some polling and some people asked me to run and they says, hey, we've got a poll, and you're the only one that can beat Mary Peltola. They said it's going to be real difficult. This was in May, and this was a Dittman poll.
So you think that since you jumped in, she decided to go after Senator Sullivan?
Well, that was just a couple days ago. So we always thought she might get in still, and then Tom got in, which is good. She would have done very well. Tom's going to be a strong competitor for us in November. On November 3rd, I think I'll beat him. I'm very confident I'll beat him. But the polling was such that the Democrat, Mary, had about 45. I was at 38. And then everyone else that was in the race or being considered at the time, because I wasn't in the race, mm-hmm. They were all down there in single digits. And they go, I'm probably going to retire from the airport at some point here in the near future. I've accomplished what I wanted there. I want to get back to my trap line. I want to get back to my flying, my fishing. I've spent all my life building up my equipment stock so I can retire. And I'm prepared to do that. But, I don't want to be sitting on a beach every winter in Hawaii thinking about the fight back in Alaska, and I'm not in it. I just like fighting, I guess. Fighting for the good, the greater good.
I've always thought that, from you, without meeting you, this watching what you do in Anchorage, you will do what you believe is the right thing no matter what your assembly would think. You would do the right thing.
Of course.
And I bring up an example, a recent example of you as a political candidate. On Monday, you were at a forum in the Valley.
Yeah.
Edna DeVries. She's put this thing on for a number of years. And deep red state. I mean, deep red state.
Yep. My kind of people.
And the question comes up, what would you fund? Would you fund the permanent all out? If you had to choose one, would you fund the permanent fund all, dividend all out? Or would you fund education all out? And in that environment, that's, I could just feel the people puckering up. That had to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only two people that said education out of everyone there.
Who was the other one?
Matt Halala.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Matt's a good guy.
Yeah, just the two of you. And I know that other people were there who said that wouldn't do that.
Oh, I got a little jeering because I was, I think, the first one to answer that. You're right. Yeah. Oh, you were watching that, huh? Cool.
Hey.
That was a good forum. Edna did a great job. You go out to the valley and she tells you to do something. You say, yes, ma'am. That's the first thing you say. And her and I worked together on some oil issues, gas issues on Cook Inlet. Mm-hmm. But I got in trouble here last month down in Homer doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so there's this concept in campaign politics where you tell people what you think they want to hear.
Yeah.
They say read the room. I don't do that.
I know how to read the room, but I know how to read myself.
Yeah, and at the end of the day is what's going to happen is I'm just going to tell you what I think, and if you don't like me, don't vote for me. It's real simple. So, I did that out there. I knew that the sentiment, cuz the room had 70 I think people in mm-hmm. and a few kids. And I knew the sentiment was full PFD.
Yeah.
And I go, I know the math. I am for a statutory full PFD.
Mm-hmm.
The money doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's gone. And you can, and let me, if I can, expound on that, and then I'll go to how I got in trouble in Homer. But a little over 600,000 people get the PFD.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a full PFD of roughly $4,000, that's $2.4 billion every year. And we should be getting it. Mm-hmm. We really should. The trouble is, and I'll just give you an example, is the scope of the problem. The scope of the problem is you add up all the W-2s in the state, all of them, from the governor all the way down to people like me working at the state. You add them all up, that's $1.2 billion. You can get rid of every person in the state forever, and you're only halfway to 1 year of full PFD. The problem is we are so close to the problem, and the problem is just so big, we have a hard time defining it. The principle is there, but the math isn't. And I spent 43 years as a professional aviator. I'm still the flying in the bush. I'm a proud father of a newly rebuilt PA-12. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I never argued once in 42 years as a professional aviator with mathematics. I'm not about to sit there and get into politics and start arguing about finance mathematics.
I'll give you the politics of it. I had three interior legislators in this room about 2 weeks ago. And I said, do you think in the next gubernatorial administration, it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican, do you foresee a permanent fund even being given, a dividend? And they all answered, no. It's not going to survive the next 4 years.
No.
Because of the math.
Because of the math.
Yeah.
And let's be Alaskans, let's be smart, and let's not argue with mathematics.
Yeah.
And then come together. Both parties come together, and I commit as a governor. I'm going to sit down. I look for after 3 years of dealing with the Anchorage Assembly, which was a 9-3 split against me,
mm-hmm.
And extreme against. I'm not talking old school Democrats.
Yeah.
I'm talking these. I guess they're woke or whatever.
Ideologues on an extreme left society.
Yes, they're. I've got. I may get myself.
I never beat up a Fairbanks politician in Juneau, but I love beating up the Anchorage Assembly.
Well, at the end of the day, they are extreme, but you look at the legislature, it's roughly split, 10-10, 20-20, and the vast majority of them are pretty reasonable people.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to sitting down, and I'd make the commitment as governor, I'm going to sit down, and my lieutenant governor, we're going to sit down together and come up with a plan on how to get this thing fixed once and all. So they aren't carrying all the weight, because the way it works sequentially during each session is the governor on December 15th is required statutorily to submit his budget. Mm-hmm. He is required by law, because it's called a statutory PFD.
It has to be a balanced budget.
But he has to submit a budget with a full PFD in it. He's required by law, and I will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. The trouble is, it gets dumped on the legislature, and by about March 15th, they got to come up and they got to do all the dirty work. That's tough work. My thing is I will come in with my lieutenant governor. Is what we're going to do is we're going to sit there and do the hard work. We're going to sit in the meetings, and find out what we have to do to get this thing, get the math right, and it's going to take, the lieutenant governor I'm going to announce tonight, we've spoke at length about this. We're building a team to advise us on this and to get us the right. He's a finance guy, And we're going to get to the right plan. It may be a plan that not everyone is going to like, because they're going to want their PFD each and every year, full $4,000. We're guessing in that 6 to maybe 10 year window, we can grow the corpus protect the corpus first and foremost, then grow the corpus, and there's some discussion there, and get to the point where that $88 billion is now going to get up over north of $100 billion, and then we get rid of this conversation, and we get our full PFD, and we function government.
You're having an event tonight
at
the Nissan.
Building. No, jeans.
Yeah. Okay, jeans. Okay, I'm glad you told me that, because I was going to be there tonight.
Yeah, not Nissan today.
It's Jeans Chrysler tonight.
Yeah, great folks over there.
And you're going to announce your lieutenant governor. Good for you.
Yeah, yep. And the only little hint I'll drop, it's someone from the interior.
Ah.
But I think it'll be a great surprise for everyone who shows up. We invite them 5:30. We'll be chatting for a bit, and then 6 we'll drop the ball.
Now, don't take this badly. I'm going to be there about 6:15.
Okay. Well,
after all the speeches.
Yeah, you're
come and get the free food.
Yeah, free food, and we'll announce. But you'll get to hear my lieutenant governor, future lieutenant governor, and I look at the stature and character of this person. Probably the next an ensuing governor of the state of Alaska.
Yeah, you know, actually, I'll be there about around 5:55, right in there.
Because,
yeah.
You kind of want to be. Well, I think we're going to hold. You know, I'm a military guy. We want to hold the timing here pretty tight if we can.
Thank you. Oh my goodness! But good for you. What are you looking at the interior of some of the issues we have up here?
Well,
have you looked at that yet?
Well, yeah. But this is why I focused really early on. You know, I came up a few months ago, you and I.
Mm-hmm. Great meeting
had,
with you.
We had lunch, a great biz. I was getting myself educated. Mm-hmm. And I made my way around town to, you know, talk to great folks like Ralph Seekins and a lot of others, probably 50, 60 people over a couple days. And I have a blind spot. The first thing in leadership is find out what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Not to know it, but just find out what don't you know. And I've got a blind spot, and it's the interior. And it's a really important area to not have a blind spot on.
Yeah.
So I go, all right, I'm going to pick someone from the interior so I can have someone who will advise me, coach me on what's important here, because we all know this. Fairbanks is kind of Alaska's first city. I know they're southeast. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to belittle Sitka or even Juneau. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the major part of the state, Fairbanks was here. It's a trapping town. It's a mining town. And everything that's going on up here in the interior comes out of Fairbanks.
We're
going
to take a phone call real fast.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio. You got about a minute. Your name is? We lost him. Darn it. Well, hopefully he calls back after our break here. Ah, here he is. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio. You got about a minute. Go ahead.
Yep. Hey, this is Al. I have just one question. Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution, which states the legislature and the department shall utilize, develop, and conserve all natural resources belonging to the state.
Uh-huh.
The thing that's odd, or doesn't rarely ever happens, is the DNR is involved with that. The Fish and Game Department is involved with that. And they both have two separate missions. And so when we need more moose habitat, you know, Fish and Game can't create that because it belongs to the DNR agencies for, because they control the lands and not the game.
Right.
And so how do we get these two agencies to collaborate and come up with some goals that satisfy, you know, DNR and Fish and Game, abiding by the Constitution?
We got about a minute here. Thank you, Al.
Thanks, Al. I'm deeply sympathetic to the problem. So I'm a Central Alaskan hunter. I'm a 16B, Unit 16B hunter, mostly, sometimes 20 Charlie, two different areas. But in 16B, I have some properties, and there's just no moose. And I fly it. I mean, this summer I flew so much, and I saw nothing. So do I recognize the problem? I certainly do. Up here, I don't know if the problem is big. I know out west, they've got a lot of moose. At the end of the day, the governor's got the authority to come in and force two agencies to work together, force them to work together. I'm surprised that they're not. but he can force them to work together to come up with the best data to get us to the best management practices.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're going to have some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and the weather is getting better.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Anti-ICE protests continuing to break out in Minneapolis following the deadly shooting of a woman by an ICE officer last week. Border Czar Tom Homan on Fox says he believes anti-ICE rhetoric needs to end. It's putting his officers and their families at risk.
The rhetoric is even tripled. Now they're saying they're murderers. They went beyond Nazis and secret police. Now they're saying ICE is murdering people. Death threats against me alone have tripled. I mean, I had one yesterday was a little different. They don't want to kill me. They want to kill my family.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey on Fox says he doesn't support abolishing ICE, but he doesn't like the way they're conducting themselves.
If we're talking about arresting violent criminals, Minneapolis does not oppose that, but that's not what is taking place in the streets of our city.
In a Minnesota federal court, Judge Catherine Menendez has declined for now to issue a temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction that would block ICE operations in the state. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a fishing vessel carrying 50,000 gallons of diesel fuel ran aground on St. George Island last Monday, causing a spill, according to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. The vessel concerned is the fishing vessel Arctic Sea, the DEC says. Alongside the diesel fuel, the ship was also carrying 2,000 gallons of lube oil and hydraulic fluid. Additionally, about 11,000 pounds of tanner crab were aboard. The land in the area of the spill is administered by the Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge. The biggest concern is the sea lion and seal rookeries, with the nearest known site being 2 miles west of the spill. In addition, as St. George Island is a rat-free island, if any rats were aboard the ship and come ashore, the impact to wildlife would likely far exceed the impact of oiling from a spill, the DEC says. Sheening has been observed by response crews on the motor vessel Makushin Bay and St. George personnel from the High Bluff Cliff adjacent to the
streaming
ship.
Live online at KFAR660.com.
It's dark, it's cold, and that snow's gonna start loading up on a couple of those trees hanging over your yard or house. You do know that Eric and his crew at Great Alaska Tree Company work year-round, right? Troublesome trees don't wait for summer, and neither should you. Winter's the worst time for tree damage. The power lines, cars, and homes, specializing in those tricky, hard-to-reach areas, licensed, bonded, and insured, it's Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-470.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at NationalGuard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mayor Dave Bronson. It's Mayor Dave show here. Both Mayor Daves. We're having fun.
Dave's not here.
I was just thinking. See, yeah. That, we just did the Vulcan mind melt. Okay.
Yeah, Dave's not here.
Now we're going to go back down the trail that we were on here, and we sort of went sideways, but you mentioned an issue or an item on your campaign trail down in Homer.
Yep. Yeah, so it's this notion of standing in front of a crowd playing politician and telling folks what you think they want to hear. So I'm down, I think it's 3 weeks ago, roughly, 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm down at Land's End, down at Homer, great place. And I've got a meet and greet. And, you know, there's, 50 or 60 people there, something like that, 40 or 50 people. good crowd, and there's someone in there asked me questions. And a big issue on the peninsula, and if not a lot of the state, is this issue of grand jury and this abuse that has happened multiple times. And it culminated in this Supreme Court order called 1993. Very complicated. But as what they did is, and this is just to kind of give you an example of what you and I have had to deal with in the past. I think you're familiar with this kind of thing. He says, "What this Supreme Court or the grand jury abuse by the Supreme Court basically nullifying the grand jury process." And he says, "I want you to commit right now to X." And I says, "Well, I don't do that. I'm not." And I literally told him, "I says I'm not going to stand here and tell you what I think you want to hear. I know what you want to hear, and I'm just not going to say it because I'm not informed enough. I've known about this issue in depth for about a couple weeks. You know, mm-hmm. I've known about it for that. There is an issue for
from the peripheral.
From the peripheral.
Yeah.
And I says I'm not going to answer it that way. But I says I will put together a team." And we're going to come and speak essentially ex cathedra. We're going to speak from a position of intellectual strength, from a committee and a group of people, and we'll find out what the facts are because I don't know what the facts are. I'm just unprepared to answer. Mm-hmm. Well, 2 days later, he writes an editorial piece, and this is what you and I have to deal from the threats from the, I guess, from the right. And it's he says, "I like Dave. He gave a great presentation. Everyone kind of liked what he said, and I agree with him." And he literally said 99.9% of the time. But he says Dave Bronson's unfit to be governor because he didn't answer this question correctly. So that's
correctly to him.
Yeah. And that's fine. And I have drafted a response. I think it's going to just to him in this article. I won't mention the guy's name because he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. I agree with much of what he writes. I probably agree with him 99.9% of the time. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to lie to folks and tell them something I don't know.
And you wanted to have a time frame.
Right.
To review, educate yourself, and know the issue before you wade in on it with a decision and a direction.
Right. And to his credit, he wants an answer from all these candidates. He did right now. But on this issue, before he votes, mm-hmm. I would want the same answer. But I says, you know, I just want to say, give me some time, you know. And I know, you know, my former chief of staff, Mario Byrd, an attorney, great guy. I sat with him, had lunch, and we talked about it. And he's educating me. I sat down with Bob Byrd, great guy in the peninsula, great educator, great guy, radio guy like you. And I had breakfast with him last week. We talked about it. And that's how I do things. I gather groups, I talk about them, and we come to an informed decision. So that I'm this is more of a commentary on what we have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, Ronald Reagan's rule was this, is if there's somebody that agrees with you 80% of the time, they're your ally. They're your friend.
My threshold is 70.
So this guy, I was going to say, "Hey, so-and-so, when are you going to get your divorce?" And he's going to say, "What?" And I says, "Well, I know you. I've been married over 40 years. I know you don't agree with your wife 99.9% of the time. So if I can't be governor under that standard, she can't be your wife under the standard. So when's the divorce?" And I would never say that in public to a guy, but he is a really good guy, but he's just a little impatient, I think.
You know, that's typical.
Yeah.
It's you have a percentage of voters out there like that, and it's on both sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was sitting in this room about 4 or 5 years ago, and I was interviewing a candidate for election, and he was far, 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 far right. And I made sure he had a great interview, just a great interview.
Right.
You know, knew how to give the questions, bring it in. And at the end of the show, we're done. We're wrapping everything up. You take off the headphones. Everything's off. And he looks at me, and he sort of snarls. He goes, "I'm not going to support you for mayor because I don't like your stance on marijuana."
What?
Exactly. Exactly.
Same thing.
What? You know, I go, that's fine. Okay. You know, if that's what it is, that's what it is. Everyone, and what I realized right then and there, don't get mad at a person for that one issue, that one issue, because the dividend, you know, ranked choice voting, this item, regional things.
Trawling, bycatch, and of course, that's a pretty clear-cut
issue. Everyone has that one issue.
Yeah.
And before you, hopefully, they'll let you understand what their issue is before you give an answer, so you can address it correctly with knowledge.
Right.
And that gentleman was
yeah,
able to
and
do
I'm
that.
Not I'm not you want to talk about something that's really, really important to the state that I know a lot about, and it's the Don Young Port of Alaska.
Yeah.
That thing is about to collapse, and I'm looking at the studio, I'm looking out your window, everything, every vehicle, every board just about came across that port. And that port, when I came into office, that project was stalled, absolutely stalled.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed that project. So you want to talk about something
yeah.
really important to you that
yeah.
is food?
Because yes.
all your food comes, all the food in Fairbanks interior comes over that port. All your building materials, everything comes from that port, and it is in a state of collapse. One bad docking by a ship, one earthquake, and that whole thing falls into the berths. The berths are what you would need to bring the new ships in to fix the thing. This is our estimate, not less than half the population of the state of Alaska would have to leave the state of Alaska for at least a couple years until that thing got fixed. That's catastrophic, and people don't talk about that. When I was mayor, that's something I focused on. That was the single biggest threat that I saw. I thought it came in. I thought it was homelessness. I thought it was finances, everything else. No, it was a construction project that had gotten stalled over many years. And I unstalled it.
Engineered badly.
And the sheet pile issue was engineered badly, and that's being rectified. I get that. And then I went in, and I got the single largest appropriation in the history of this state, $200 million ever in the state, and I got it, and it was for that construction project, and I think we accomplished a lot. If there's just one thing I could hang my hat on, there's many things that
you saved Alaska through the Port of Anchorage, Port of Alaska.
Well, it's not seismically secure. At the end of third quarter of 2028 or first quarter of 2028, I left that project where they said we will have one of the two docks seismically secure at the end of first quarter of 2028. And I hope it's still on track. I hope the current administration hasn't done anything to muck that up.
Guess what? As governor, you have the view to make sure it's on track.
Well, you do, but just remember the Don Young Port of Alaska is not an Alaskan asset. It's a City of Anchorage asset. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the responsibility of the mayor of Anchorage. But I'm telling you, as governor, I can put pressure on it.
I just don't trust her priorities on something like that.
Well,
I don't mean to besmirch your past opponent, but I just seeing which is important to her.
Yeah,
that's not important.
We have diametrically almost opposed approach to things. I don't like commenting without someone being here. I'm happy, would be happy to this day sit down and debate her. But that's, she's not here to defend herself. But I can talk about the issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Sullivan Arena was a great thing, a great hockey venue, and they were going to tear it down and put in high density, low income housing. And I was able to, with my purchasing director, just the two of us, come up with a plan on saving that structure. And you look at it now, I mean, we've got record we're almost filling the place, the Wolverines are.
Yeah.
In fact, Friday is Fairbanks and Anchorage, I think, are playing.
In
the Sully, I think.
You know, the toughest ticket in Fairbanks to get, the toughest, is UAA-UAF hockey.
Yeah.
You know, the Governor's Cup. I mean, that is the rivalry between the towns. Yeah. It used to be the Gold Panthers, Glacier Pilots. Then the Gold Panthers and the Glacier Pilots went different directions of everything.
Yeah.
But that hockey is great. And it's so great seeing Anchorage, UAA, back with a hockey team.
Yeah.
It really is.
And then we've got the Wolverines, a private, I guess you'd call it a semi-pro team. Absolutely great hockey.
Yeah.
We love going to it. But the building is now clean.
We are a hockey
Jumbotron
state. Yeah.
Is working. We did a great job there getting that thing back online for the hockey population. It's hockey's important. It's part of our culture.
We're a hockey
state. I played for 22 years.
Me, not so much. But we're a hockey state.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Dearest Mother, the new year has dawned, and as I traveled through the town, I found myself once again drawn to Brewster's, the most delightful reprieve after the holiday rush. Inside, I was met with a warmth that chased away the winter chill. The salmon burger was splendid and kept me in line with my New Year's resolution. It was the perfect way to greet the year ahead. It is a place of comfort and cheer, where the food is hearty and the company always kind. If you ever pass this way, you must stop and experience Brewster's for yourself. Your beloved son, Henry.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. With small ships that bring travelers closer to the destination, there's more time to explore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Are you 50 or older? This news is for you. The CDC recommends you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at risk. People 50 or older are over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults 18 to 49. Just one shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center, Interior Alaska's choice for state-of-the-art eye care. Find relief with the most advanced dry eye center in the interior. See clearly and be free of your reading glasses and contacts for good. Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center. Surgeons Dr. Laura Kearsley and Dr. Jason Crosby specialize in premium cataract surgery, LASIK laser vision correction, and treatment of eye disease. All insurance accepted. Schedule your consultation. Visit MountainViewEyes.com.
KFAR weather.
Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 19 below, winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight, lows around 28 below, cloudy. About an inch of snow today with another 1 to 3 inches tomorrow through Friday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mayor Dave Bronson in the studio with us here. He's running for governor. Now, Mayor, what are some of the items that you believe, as a governor, you'd be taking on?
All of them.
You know, when I started asking you that question, I was going, God, Dave, you could get a little bit more specific here.
Thanks for a very focused question. Mr.
Yeah,
Mayor.
You know, I knew you'd like it that way.
Well, we got asked that in that forum you mentioned the other night. They says, okay, they listed a bunch of things. Which one are you going to put first? And you had to answer one. And I says, well, Edna, and she's a buddy of mine, she organized it, even though she was part of it. My complaint was this, and this is what I said, it's like being the father of 5 kids and saying, hey, which one's your favorite?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. We're going to do a lot of things all at once because mm-hmm. we have to. If Donald Trump can do it on a world scale, I can certainly do it on an Alaskan scale. And we've got the finances. If we get our finances fixed, a lot of these terrible conversations just go away. But the finances and leads directly into our infrastructure talk. We've got to build and repair roads. Mm-hmm. We've got to get roads to mining areas. We've got the PFD. We've got trawl. We've got bycatch. Those are issues that definitely impact because of the take of especially the Kings. That impacts all the way up to here. There are so many things that have to be done. People ask me, why are you? You're retired. You don't need any of this. And I go, you're right. I don't need any of this, but I don't want to be sitting on a beach somewhere and reading my news and looking at everybody else who still gets to be in the fight. That's not me. I don't want to be that guy. I've watched what happens when very busy people, and I've always been a very busy person, when they retire and quit, you die. And
True.
This is a matter of survival for me.
I'm the same way. I need something to do.
Yeah, I need something. So I'll just be the governor.
People ask me now, what are you getting up late? I go, no, I'm at my desk every morning at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I like getting up. I like going to work. I do miss hunting, fishing, trapping, and flying. You know, my motto is hunt, fish, fly, grow, get fat, and die. You know, and I've been trying to
live. That's a good motto.
It is a very good motto. The trouble is, I've found with myself, you know, one of the greatest discoveries a person can make is you discover who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And some people never get that. But I think I've kind of got a good handle on who I am, and I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want balance in my life.
Yeah.
And sometimes complete retirement will be that balance. It's not that. Mm-hmm. I miss trapping. I really miss my hunting. I miss fishing. The summer before last, the summer that I lost the reelection, I spent so much time in Prince William Sound. I loved it. But you know, towards the end of summer, we got into August and the Silvers, and I just go, you know, this isn't real satisfying.
Your mind isn't as active as it used to be.
No, and my memory was going.
Yeah.
I think my memory is right now is as good as it's ever been because my head hurts at the end of the day.
You're using it.
Because you're thinking.
Yeah.
You're thinking all day long. And for me, it's all these policy issues that we have to have. We kind of brought in a real good advisor, a couple of them, on trawl and bycatch. We got to that. We published that here last week. We put out a reel on that. We had a fun thing, speaking of putting stuff out on video. I created a website called whohatesdave.com.
And is that Mayor of Fairbanks?
No. I'll loan that website to you someday when you get reelected. But and we just had this open mic thing where, just like this, where somebody sits there and reads to me a question, and I have to answer it unless it's profane or something.
Yeah.
We're not going to read that. And it were tough questions. Some of them were easy ones, but you know, tough. Why snow plowing? Why did you hire so and so? Why this? And you know, some of them are a little profane, but we allow kind of.
Yeah. Our present mayor is having an issue with snow plowing, and your present mayor is having an issue with snow plowing.
Yeah, it's because it's called snow.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the we had fun with that, and we're going to do another. I think we're filming another episode Saturday. And it's whohatesdave.com. Go there if you don't like me.
I gotta go there and see this.
And if you don't like me, certainly continue reading, going to adn.com. If you think you want to learn about me, go to davebronson.com. And that's my website. You and I have talked about it before. I never, as mayor, very, very rarely went and defended myself because I got advice from a very tall governor who's a friend of mine early on. He says, Dave, once you start defending yourself, he says, you will always be defending yourself. He says, don't start. He says, you're up here, they're down here. Unless it really impacts policy or what you're trying to do, he says, do not respond. And I took that advice, and I still take that advice. But now I'm in a campaign. I get to respond to everything, so it's kind of fun.
Good for you.
I get to defend myself finally.
Well, actually, you get to define yourself too.
Well, define myself. I didn't do that for 3 years because I was governing. I wasn't fighting. You know, there's campaign politics, and then there's governing. And I thought governing is sacrosanct. I tried to just govern.
Yeah.
In spite of the barbs, in spite of the tax, my friends would holler at me. Says, Dave, you know that's not true what they're saying. Defend yourself. And I says, I'm not going to start down that path, because then your whole administration is defense, defense, defense. And I'm on offense. My job is to govern. My job is to move the state forward. And that's what I intend to do.
You know, you were mayor of a population base that is 42% of the state of Alaska.
Right.
And at the same time, being from Anchorage, if you're elected governor, I would say you're going to have a population base of half the legislature that you have something in common with.
Right.
So you'd probably have a much better working relationship than most would have, because you have commonalities.
Right. When I was in office, we had a couple meetings. We invited all the legislatures left and right, and I think only one didn't come from the entire Anchorage Bowl, mm-hmm. because I wanted to know what they thought. And you know, people are afraid that, you know, Dave Bronson, just another guy from Anchorage running for governor. That's why I'm choosing a lieutenant governor from the interior. A big reason of it is I need that blind spot we were talking about. I need to fill that blind spot because Anchorage is, and I love my city. I've been there 35 years. I love my city. I'm going to grow old, get fat, and die there. But
I know that feeling here.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah. But I got to move the whole state forward. I'm running to be the governor of the whole state. And the problems are bigger. The challenges are bigger. And I'll be honest, that's the fun part of it. The challenges are really big. Build a gas line. Build homes that our kids can afford mm-hmm. and come back. Make our public education much better. Those are the things that are important to all of us. It's not a partisan thing. Good education is, and I'm a big supporter of things like vouchers, and I think that's one of the mechanisms, just one, that make our education better.
I got to throw something here at yeah. you. You know, I've heard this a couple of times. You know, the newest generation or whatever generation is saying, they can't get housing. Housing's too expensive. And I say bull crap. You have tools nowadays. Last week I closed a property. I did not represent the buyer, but mm-hmm. the buyer put a $1,500 earnest money down that the seller accepted, and the remaining of their closing costs, with the seller being able to help them, was $150. Mm-hmm. And they got a 5% loan on a $350,000 property and very affordable for them. That buyer made a choice to go into the military or get a VA loan. Mm-hmm. You have more options now with down payments and lower down payments, down payment assistance, than ever in purchasing. You don't need 10%. I'm right. on Alaska Housing Finance Corporation Board of Directors. You can get 3%. If you have $15,000, if you can save $15,000 over a year and a half, 2 years, you can buy a house. Simple as that.
Yeah.
And with the interest rates today, no matter what the price is, it's affordable. Now, your taxes might be high.
Yeah.
Your utilities might be high, but you can buy the house.
Well, you bring in the whole PITI. Yep. It is, and maybe I'll differ with you a little bit. I hate to do it in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, go ahead.
But I hear nonstop that the cost of housing for our young people is too high because the financing is just the mechanism to get to the house mm-hmm. in the first place. You know, just a few years ago when interest rates were sub-2 on some of this stuff, because my son bought 2 fourplexes. He's a pilot at Alaska Airlines. He had that income where he turned his income into capital.
Yeah.
And he got in, and then he was just going to keep buying fourplex after fourplex until he got into larger apartment buildings. And he was stopped. He was personally stopped because of the cost of money. Mm-hmm. And he explores, really smart kid, way smarter than me, got his mom's brains. And he
chip off her old block.
Yeah, yeah, chip off the wife's block. And he did a great job. And he just wants to keep rolling that methodology. Now that interest rates are, you know, the suggestion is they're coming down, and we'll see what's going on with the Fed, and they will. He'll get back into that. Mm-hmm. But he was stopped. I mean, just cold, hard stopped because of the cost of money. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when you take and you print $6 trillion and bring it out of nowhere. And the trouble is you can print that money and you can make it available, but these young people, their incomes aren't keeping up with that inflation rate. Mm-hmm. So they're inflated out of house. The lumber portion of the house, we're down in, you know, 12, 14, 15% of the cost is up at 30% of the cost of the package.
We got a minute left.
Okay.
You're having an event tonight.
I'm having an event over at Jeans Chrysler, 5:30 to whenever, probably 7-ish. We'll be there. We'll have some munchies, and we're going to announce a fantastic
new Fairbanks and local interior guy.
Yep, that's the only clue I'm going to give. And it's did I say guy in there?
No, I did.
Okay.
No offense.
I know. So it's going to be a Fairbanks person, and I think the folks of the interior will be very happy. I know the folks of the rest of the state will be happy. Somebody who's got a voice and experience where I don't, and that's when he's going to be my primary advisor as lieutenant governor.
Good to hear. Good to hear. That means you'll know the issues one way or another.
Yep. Be informed.
Good for you. Good for you.
Have to.
Yeah. We got about 20 seconds left. How do you want to end it, sir?
Well, if you don't like me, go to ADN.com.
I think after this interview, people are going to start liking you.
Yeah, hey, and go to DaveBronson.com. And if you want to have some fun, go to WhoHatesDave.com and throw your comments in there, and I'll respond to the stack of questions on Saturday.
Mayor Bronson, thank you very much. Good luck in your endeavor. Have fun tonight.
Yep,
and I'll see
will.
You more, and I'll see you soon. We'll have you on the air again.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate it.
Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Friday.